And welcome again to Reviewing the Brew Online, Reviewing the Brews podcast. I am Benjamin Orr. Joining me tonight is Senior Staff Writer Lou Olson, Staff Writer Justin Schultz, and Staff Writer Ryan Connor. So we have a full house tonight. We'll be talking about predictions that some of us made earlier in the season, and they are not pretty by any stretch of the imagination. Talk about some off-season stuff and whatever else comes to mind. So looking at these predictions that we made all the way back in March. Ryan was not with us at the time, so we'll just be going over mine, Justin's, and Lou's. So
give Ryan Kurtz or Collins. Give him Collins.
Give him Collins.
I actually found my own.
Oh, yeah, you actually have one. Okay.
Unofficially, yeah.
Okay. Let's start with Lou, though. And Lou, for the okay, AL-wise, AL East, you had the Blue Jays winning the division.
Yeah, okay. That was the right choice at the time. Go on.
AL Central was the Tigers, so...
Yeah, that, okay. That's 1 point for me.
AL West was the Angels.
Yeah. Blew that one.
Your wild card was the Rays and the Orioles.
Hey, I got... What, I got 50%? All right, I got 2 points.
ALDS, you had the Rays over the Angels and the Tigers over the Blue Jays.
All right. One more point.
In the ALCS, you had the Tigers over the Rays.
All right. So I got 3 points in the American League. That's acceptable.
Okay, National League-wise, you had the Nationals winning the NL East.
Woo! I had that.
Yeah.
The Reds winning the Central.
Yeah.
The Dodgers winning the West.
Okay, good work, me.
And your wild card was the Giants and the Braves.
I got the Braves.
Your NLDS had the Nationals over the Giants and the Dodgers over the Reds. And your NLCS had the Dodgers over the Nationals, with your World Series being the Dodgers over the Tigers in six.
All right, well, that almost happened.
Lou was the closest on the World Series predictions.
Hey, all right. That almost took place. So, all right. I mean, it wasn't great. I made some major boo-boos, but acceptable. Not my worst work.
All right, Justin, you want to hear your predictions now?
Yep.
All right. AL East for Justin. He had the Blue Jays. AL Central, he had the Tigers. AL West, he had the Angels.
Never trust Pujols or Hamilton again.
Yeah.
And AL Wild Cards, he had the Indians and the Rays.
Indians?
That actually happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Thank you.
ALDS, he had the Angels over the Indians and the Blue Jays over the Tigers.
Mm. I like the Blue Jays way too much.
Yeah. And he had the ALCS being the Blue Jays over the Angels. So Blue Jays are apparently World Series bound in Justin's mind. NL East for Justin was the Nationals. NL Central was the Reds. NL West was the Giants. And NL Wild Card was the Dodgers against the Cardinals.
Well, I did really bad in the NL.
The NLDS was the Nationals over the Dodgers and the Reds over the Giants, with the NLCS being the Nationals over the Reds.
Wow.
Justin's World Series was the Nationals over the Blue Jays in five.
Not even close.
How about you, Ryan? What were your predictions?
Yeah, I had the Jays in the AL East like every sane human being did at that point. The Tigers in the Central and the A's in the West, so I got those two right. And my wild card, I had Rays and Rangers, which kind of happened. And then on the NL side, I had the Nats in the East, the Cardinals in the Central, the Dodgers in the West, and then the Braves and Reds in the wild card. So I didn't do terrible except for the fact that everybody and their mother on the Jays got hurt. And the Nationals, the Nationals were just bad for like 2 months and then decided that they would actually play competitive baseball again. And then my World Series was the Nats over the, I didn't do the playoff rounds, but I had the Nats over the Tigers in the World Series, which obviously didn't happen.
Well, I mean, you got some of that right, so hey, it counts. And then my predictions are pretty terrible, too. I had the Rays in the East, the Tigers in the Central, the Angels in the West. Wild card, I had the Jays and the Mariners.
Mariners.
Whoa. I don't know why.
Whoa, man. Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. You had the Mariners winning the West?
No, I had them in the wild card against the Jays.
You had the Mariners getting a winning record?
Wow. I thought they would be good. They had decent pitching.
They have no offense, like, yeah, whatsoever.
ALDS, I had the Rays over the Tigers and the Angels over the Jays. ALCS, I had the Angels over the Rays. I don't know why I was so angel happy. NL Central, I had the Reds. NL East, I had the Nationals. NL West, I had the Giants. NL Wildcard, I had the Braves and the Brewers.
Yeah, you beat them.
I'm a dreamer.
You bet on that hard, Ben.
Yeah, I promise Ben is going to predict the Brewers to win the Central or Wild Card next year, too.
I'm a dreamer of dreams, right?
You are, Ben. That's what I love about you. You're a dreamer of dreams.
NLDS, I had the Nationals over the Brewers. So the Brewers apparently make it to the NLDS in my world. the Giants over the Reds. And then the NLCS was Nationals over Giants, with my World Series being the Nationals over the Angels in 7.
Woo.
So
we suck.
The Nationals should have been so much better.
They should have been.
Really should have been. They really should have been better.
They screwed everyone over.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
Hey, you guys remember when Bryce Harper was running full speed into the wall to catch that ball? That was my favorite Major League Baseball moment from this year.
My favorite Major League Baseball moment was I said I don't believe the Bryce Harper hype, and I'm right so far.
Wait, what?
Because I don't believe that Bryce Harper's good at all.
Oh.
I think Bryce Harper is funny when he runs into walls at full speed.
He beat out Carlos Gomez, or beat out, yeah, Gomez for the All-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's silly.
I have to agree with Justin there 100%. I think Bryce Harper is so overrated. There is no reason in the world he should have beaten out Carlos Gomez.
Life isn't fair, gentlemen. Life isn't fair.
All-star voting is stupid in the first place.
So. Rule number one from the old guy. Life isn't fair.
Yeah, the all-star voting is pretty bogus at times.
Yeah, it's not worth much of anything.
So.
To be fair to Bryce, though, at ages 19 and 20, he did post a combined war of, like, over 8. So he's averaging like 4 WAR a season at age 20.
Yeah, but so. I just think you can call him a stud if he bats .274. So
yeah, he does post a nice. He's got a career 128 weighted runs created plus so far. So that's, I mean, he's a well above average hitter. I mean, his batting average isn't, like, you know, great, but his on base percentage is nice, and obviously his slugging is where he. Really excels. His walk rate is actually, like, really surprisingly high for a guy who you see swing out of his heels so much.
I was going to say, he strikes out an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's on the trend down. I mean, he struck only just under 19% this year, so it's actually not even that bad, and his walk rate was almost 12.5%. Like, I feel like he's a guy who should strike out more and walk less because he swings so hard, but I'm not gonna lie, I'd be willing to bet pretty big on Bryce Harper next year, providing he stays healthy.
He almost struck out 100 times in only 118 games played. So that's a lot.
Yeah, but his percentage isn't really that high.
Because he probably had more at-bats.
Yeah, he had almost 500 plate appearances.
Well, granted, he was out for a while after running into that fence in L.A. So, yeah. I mean, that kind of hurt his season a little bit. But I don't know, I just never really bought into it, like Justin. I just never really bought into the Bryce Harper hype. Now, Mike Trout is an example of a guy that lived up to it and didn't even have that much surrounding him like Bryce Harper did.
Yeah, I mean, the national attention. I mean, prospect guys, they knew. I mean, they weren't expecting this because, you know, normal human beings don't do this. But, I mean, he was a pretty highly touted prospect, but he wasn't on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 16-year-old. But, I mean, yeah, Mike Trout's a monster. Bryce Harper, I'll bet on this that Bryce Harper's an MVP candidate very soon.
I don't think it's possible, but I still think with guys like Andrew McCutchen, and I hate to say this, even Yadier Molina, it's going to be hard for him to catch up to that.
Have I told you guys about this video of Bryce Harper running full speed into a wall? Have you guys seen that video?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd chime in now that you guys were done. That's all I got.
Cool, Ilu.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, postseason's a funny thing as well because, you know, talking about all our predictions and how good the Nationals were supposed to be and they weren't, and just I think the one thing, because we were talking about this pre-show, was the one thing all four of us are happy about is that after this season, we would no longer have to hear Tim McCarver announce the World Series.
Good riddance.
Thank God.
Tim McCarver sucks. Man alive, is that guy irritating to listen to.
I can't do it. I had the game on, and I tried to make it through an inning. Couldn't do it, muted it, and put the killers on my computer.
Joe Buck already infuriates me because I have to listen to him every fucking Sunday.
Is he paid by the Packers or something? Because he does every single
game. I know. He does every single game that the Packers have. And now I have to listen to him during the playoffs, too.
And when he does, it's never going to be a good result because the Packers always seem to do crappy when he announces.
Well,
I've always noticed that. Maybe it's
a correlation. They do kind of crappy a lot of the time. That's for another podcast.
Yes.
Sorry, I even brought it up. I just don't like Joe Buck. So if they're just going to pair somebody else with Joe Buck, the problem still exists.
It'll be Jim Leland.
I want McCarver gone. Actually, I'd listen to Jim Leland. I like Jim Leland. As long as he's going to smoke cigars and drink scotch.
Even though he sounds like Boomhauer from King of the Hill.
That's why I think it'd be fun to listen to. It'd be better than listening to Tim McCarver prattle on like an old Southern plantation owner.
I mean,
he does strike the ball with an awful lot of authority. Shut up, Tim.
He's like Foghorn Leghorn.
He legitimately sounds like DiCaprio's character in Django.
Yeah. He is a caricature, Tim McCarver. And I don't think he knows anything about baseball. I secretly suspect that he's not.
Well, if he does, he points out the god-awful obvious.
Like, and who in their relate? Like, is he supposed to be the color commentator?
I think so.
Like, right? Like, in their... Because Joe Buck is not the color commentator. That's what Troy Aikman is for.
Yeah, Troy Aikman, don't even.
I'll take Troy Aikman over Tim McCarver.
Okay, that's like taking any human being over Yunieski Betancourt. Obviously, you're going to do it, but it doesn't mean it's good.
I'll take Yunieski Betancourt over Tim McCarver.
Oof! Shots fired.
Have you ever heard a Yunieski Betancourt press conference? I have. I think maybe I would just stick with Tim McCarver, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think it'd be more interesting if UNEV did it.
It would be more interesting. I'll tell you guys something, though. I did watch a few Packer games in Spanish during the preseason. Way more fun. I laughed way more than I ever did watching a regular Packers game.
Understand Spanish?
No, don't speak a word. But I know that in Spanish, the Packers are called the Pecaderos, and I find that's that awesome. Charming. Yeah, I like it.
That is pretty cool. But yeah, no more Tim McCarver after this season, so we can all sleep easy tonight, right?
Depends on who wins tonight.
That's true.
So, you know, looking towards, you know, past the postseason and into the offseason, the Brewers, I don't think, are going to be really expected to do much of anything. As Doug Mulvin stated before, you know, they're going to really work in-house with a lot of players. And, I mean, that's fine and all, but with the departure of Mike Gonzalez, and thank God for that, they're going to need another lefty in that bullpen because Gorzelani can't do it all. And plus, if they need Gorzelani to spot start, then you have no left-hander in the bullpen. So,
making moves and have no money at all. They signed Kyle Oakley's deal, gave Ramirez and Braun's contract is still there. And Weeks, they're paying him $11 million next year, so.
Yeah. I think the only thing that we can really expect to see this offseason is if the right deal comes along for somebody. I still feel like Giovanni Gallardo will be a center of attention during the winter meetings and the GM meetings. I think people will want to get Gallardo, and if the deal comes along, they'll do it.
I want him out of Milwaukee so fast.
I mean, if the right deal comes along, if we can get a nice package like what we got for Greinke, then I think we should do it.
To be honest, Gallardo might be my least favorite brewer.
Oh, come on. That can't be true. I know for a fact that that can't be true.
Okay, performance-wise. Not other reasons like Scooter.
Because Scooter's actually good?
No.
For the record, Ben said that. I didn't say that, Justin.
I didn't know that Justin was ever going to come back on this show after Lou and I kind of, you know, tore Ricky Weeks apart sometimes.
Yeah, and tore me apart while doing so.
Oh, come on.
Shots fired. Oh, but...
No. Yeah, that's why I think you and Ben made your own podcast just to rip on me. That's what I think your goal was.
We haven't even talked about you. I mean, that sounds like a dicky thing to say, but...
We don't even talk baseball on that other podcast. We talk about, like, giant applesauce and SpongeBob tombstones.
Yeah, but there could be hidden meetings, so...
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we did not create the other podcast so we can make fun of you.
See, that's also why...
If you want, we can start. Yeah. We can have a segment called Making Fun of Justin.
See, and that's why I brought Ryan on board, because Ryan secretly makes fun of Justin as well. So that's why we're all against Justin.
Don't bring Ryan into this. Ryan doesn't need to be a part of this.
He's a part of the team now. Of course he does. He's a secret agent.
Justin, I never tease you out of malice. It's only out of love and adoration.
I just remember when Ben, he was a Ricky Weeks fan, and then all of a sudden, nope, I'm not a fan of him anymore. I'm going to jump on Lou's bandwagon.
I was neutral between the two.
In his defense, I'm very persuasive.
I was neutral, so no. I don't want to hear that. But, yeah, with all the money they owe to people, it's going to be really hard to see if they can try and sign anybody, which is why if they do, I think it's going to be a reliever and probably not a top-notch one at that, probably just a guy to fill in a void somewhere. Because, I mean, you do have guys like Donovan Hand and, Johnny Helwig to go back to if they want to use those as more mid-relief roles than anything. But it's going to be interesting because the Brewers' bullpen was so good last year that I think they want to keep that, you know, that train going. And, I mean, there's also the option if they want to sign maybe a free agent starter, maybe a guy for third base if they want to try and trade Ramirez. It's going to be interesting to see what they do because while Doug Mullen says one thing, I think Mark Attanasio might have other plans. I mean, I don't know. The Brewers are usually kind of smart with the deals they make. But it'll be interesting to see if they do pursue anybody at all or if it'll be another kind of quiet offseason like it was last year.
Well, they'll never be able to trade Aramis Ramirez. So that should just go right out the window.
I don't know. I think they could trade him to some AL team in the trade deadline. Who needs a bat? Who needs a DH?
At the trade deadline, yeah, not before the season starts.
Well, they could always move him to the Dodgers because, I mean, he could be a bench bat there and they could pay $30 million. They could cover his salary and then pay us more because they're the Dodgers and they have an endless bank account.
I do feel bad for Ramirez, though, because he said when he was signed to the Brewers that he came here to win and they haven't had a 500-year with them.
I feel like, I mean, any person should be able to look at that roster and be like, well, if it's not in year one, which, I mean, I don't even know if they were...
They did last year.
If you had to bet, yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, that team still wasn't, like, favored to be a wildcard team. It could have won, and then it didn't, and then after that year, there was almost no chance that this team was going to be competitive once they lost Greinke and the such.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. And with the whole thing with Ramirez, and it would be kind of hard to trade him, especially with him going on the disabled list three times this season with knee problems. I mean, a team that signs him is going to want to sign him for cheap because, you know, if he's that injury prone, they're not going to be able to use him and they're just going to be wasting money.
He's Jake Taylor from the Major League movies. He's playing on borrowed time. Those knees are going to go at any second. They're just going to explode like glass.
He looks so uncomfortable moving around.
Oh, man, he is just... He lumbers out there now. He's like,
it's painful to watch. He any bit of leg strength that he ever had, like, you could even see it in the spring. Like, his legs are gone. He's getting the Lance Berkman syndrome thing where his upper body's three times the size of his legs. It's just, he can't move around. He can't play third base anymore. And so,
he does look like Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
That was a good comparison.
Yeah, only if he was that strong.
Right, but his legs look like that, where they could snap at any second, but he's always running with, like,
and Mr.
his
Incredible.
Chest.
Mr. Incredible is not, like, physiologically sound.
Right.
So looking at the slew of left-handed relievers that are free agents this winter, it's nothing really overly inspiring. You've got Scott Downs and the infamous Mike Gonzalez.
Nope.
Rich Hill.
Nope.
J.P. Howell. Yeah. I mean, that's something.
How old is he, like?
Yeah.
31. Yeah. You've got Boone Logan, who somehow is still only 29.
Whoa. That doesn't seem to... Why doesn't that add up?
I feel like he should be much older than that.
Yeah, me too.
Javier Lopez?
Nope.
No.
Eric O'Flaherty, who, if I'm right, is coming off surgery.
Yeah, I'm going to vote no on that.
I mean... If he was healthy, it'd be a no-doubt want, but...
Yeah, because he was part of that really... Wasn't he part of that 7-8-9 for Atlanta a few years ago?
And then two of their arms exploded.
And Venters kind of just fell off.
Yeah, and he's surgery, too.
1 year, $1 million.
Yeah, and then you got Darren Oliver, who's, 70 years old.
I say, he's still in baseball?
Yep, 43.
Wow. Kudos to him.
Then you've got Oliver Perez, who actually has become a pretty good relief pitcher.
Nope. I vote
David Percy, so that's kind of just the epitome of meh. And then the formerly great Matt Thornton, who does have a $6 million club option, but I can't see the way the White Sox actually pick that up. And then everyone's favorite disappointing brewer of the decade, Manny Parra.
Oh, we could bring back the Parra.
With the rest.
He was really good with the Reds.
He was?
Yeah, yeah. He posted like a sub, 3.5 ERA this season?
It was less. I think it was in the twos. Let me check that quick.
This is why everything that goes wrong with the Brewers is Rick Kranis' fault.
Manny Parra sucked when Rick Peterson was there.
Yeah, he was a 3.33 ERA.
His ex-FIP was under 3, so, I mean, you get him out of that... See, it's so odd for a guy that had homer problems to put him in Cincinnati and then him all of a sudden be good. Yeah, his ex-FIP was under 3, so... I mean, if you put him in a West Coast ballpark, you got a potentially dominant reliever.
And that's kind of scary with Manny Parra, considering how terrible he was in Milwaukee.
Oh, it was so bad. Like, and the weird thing was, is in 2008, when we went to the playoffs, the second half of that season... He was awesome. Like, we're like, okay, he's going to take that next step, and then he just gone. Never good again.
And magically he goes to the Reds, and hey, everything's all sunshine and rainbows with him.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years he was with the Brewers, the writing was on the wall. He can't start, and they kept throwing him out there to start. And he should have been relieving for the last several years.
Yeah, it was ugly with Parra.
Yeah, that was poor asset management on the Brewers' part.
Yeah, but I mean, there are some decent lefty options out there, though. I think J.P. Howell will probably be the strongest candidate if we had to choose out of those three, I guess.
I'd agree, for the most part, yeah. Him, I kind of like, I have a thing for Oliver Perez right now, because he was terrible, obviously, but I think these reclamation projects of starting pitchers going relievers aren't really done enough. Like, you have a lot of guys that... Like, I've always wanted to see Rich Harden do relief pitching. But that's never going to happen because his arm won't stay attached. But I always thought before, like, everything went down south that he should have tried to be, a setup-type reliever, a high-leverage-type reliever. Because he was dominant when he was on the mound, but he just could never actually keep himself on the field.
Yeah. What do you think, Justin? Who do you think the Brewers should go after?
I don't think they should go after anyone. I don't want them
with that.
To sign a single person in the season. I think they need to rebuild from within and then free up some money when Ramirez goes and when Ricky goes and just go from there.
We seem to have lost Lou for the time being. His internet went out, so he may or may not be back.
So. Sean O'Sullivan is 26. He's also a free agent.
Really?
Yeah, Sean O'Sullivan's been around forever, and he's 26 years old.
He's like a Boone Logan.
It's even worse. I feel like I've known the name Sean O'Sullivan for so much longer than Boone Logan. I'd also be okay with the Brewers doing basically what like some teams do in this kind of middle stage where they're not really competitive, but they're not like the Astros, where you go out and you sign like high upside types to move in July, like a Scott Baker, like I guess Kazmir was that kind of signing by Cleveland this year, but then Cleveland was actually good, so they used him. But I mean, depending on what Josh Johnson will actually get, I think he'll get priced out of what would make sense for the Brewers. But I mean, a Phil Hughes, even though he gives up a billion home runs, I mean, there's talent in there. It's just a matter of him actually being able to keep the ball in the ballpark. That's really his only problem. But yeah, I mean, as far as other free agents go, I mean, the Brewers don't need any outfielders. At third base, it's really depressing. You got I think the best one was Uribe, but I doubt he leaves Los Angeles because they have a kajillion dollar payroll. But I mean, the next best option, honestly, is Casey McGee coming back from Japan.
He had a good year in Japan, so.
So did Vladimir Ballantyne, and he was awful.
I think he broke a record. I think it was Sadahara O's record. I don't know if it was home runs or hits, but.
Oh, I hear that name, and that's a hitting drill we do here now. Yeah. I was unaware that was even a person. I just figured that was a drill name.
No, he had the most home runs in Japan. He had like 800 some home runs. So it was pretty impressive. But yeah, those are options that the Brewers could roll with if they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it depends a lot on money. Because the Brewers don't have all this money to play with, because obviously a lot of that went to all these deals that they have, mainly Braun, Loesch, and Ricky Weeks are the biggest ones. And plus, if they want to try to re-sign Corey Hart, there's more money that's going out. Of course, Hart did say he wants to come back for a lesser of a deal, but I mean, there's a lot of money that they don't have. So if they do get a guy, it may be for 1 year, $2 million, $3 million. I think $3 million is probably going to be their max, though, for a reliever.
Oh, it should be, yeah. I mean, there's no reason to spend more on that when you can. I mean, the Brewers have, especially if they go and get a right-handed reliever, I'm going to throw a fit because we have so many right-handed pitchers that can fill the relief role.
Yeah, and just, you don't need to keep going out and getting what you already have because that's why you have a farm system. And the Brewers lack a lot in lefties. So we'll see where they go with that. I was going to say we can move on to defend your tweet, but oh, Lou is back on now, so that actually works. Let me try to add him back real quick. So Ryan, I'm interested to see what tweet did you have for me to defend.
Well, if you remember, October 13th, fellow blogger person Clarence Beef Tank, as far as Twitter name, said, "I'm all for letting mups, but Fall Out Boy is awful and never play that song again." To which I said, "Fall Out Boy is currently awful and it makes me sad. That song sucks and the rest of the album is worse." To which you somehow replied, "I think I'm in the minority when I say I like it." I'm not sure how one defends liking either that song or Fall Out Boy's new album, because both are atrocious and offensive to people who are fans of old Fall Out Boy.
I don't know. I like it. I mean, I never really got that like whole mentality of, oh, you know, I don't like this band because they sound different. The only band that I think deserves that kind of recognition is Metallica, because they just kind of died after the Black Album. Like, I think Metallica literally broke up after the Black Album and just did not produce music. But with Fall Out Boy, I don't know. I mean, it is a different sound, but it kind of... It kind of sounds the same a little bit. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was catchy. I thought it was perfect. It was much better than Bruce Springsteen. So.
Bruce Springsteen? That, well, obviously.
Because you mean, cause I know, you know, that happened. So.
See, but we didn't let it happen. Other people let it happen.
That is true. But no, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was catchy. I am in the huge minority there, but. So.
It's not okay.
It's not okay.
It's not okay, Ben.
Well, let me see. I can definitely find one for you, Ryan, and I'll find one for Justin as well. Actually, no, I think I had one for Justin. Yes, I did have one for Justin. And just, I think it's kind of, I guess it's a statement, but I want you to explain it at least. Right. And Justin, on October 23rd, about 3:20 p.m., you said, John Axford seems really happy in St. Louis.
I was watching, what's it called, Intentional Talk on MLB Network, and they were interviewing John Axford, and he just seemed so happy that he was in St. Louis. He was talking about a friend he made in Jason Mott, and that he was just really glad to get out of Milwaukee and play for the World Series, and it kind of made me just sad watching him in red. He's kind of pissed off, too.
That's understandable. It's first time you see that, it's just a huge kick to the gut.
And plus, John Axford used to be, like, so good in Milwaukee. Everyone loved him, and then he goes to the fans hating him, so I'm sure he's happy to get out of here.
Yeah, it's basically like having your girlfriend leave you, and then you find her with, trying to think of a good comparison here.
Worst enemy?
Yeah, but, like, not only worst enemy, but, like, someone who looks like Brad Pitt as well. Like, there's, like, she took such a huge step up from you. And it's like, and you also hate that person, so it's like the ultimate, just kick straight to the nads.
I got back for Brad Pitt, so I'm glad that I didn't miss anything too important.
Yeah, you just missed Brad Pitt. He was just on the show.
Luckies.
No, we were doing defend your tweet, and I made Ryan and Justin defend a few tweets.
Oh.
So I'm sure you
have
some
very special. Well, I have a very special tweet for Justin to defend. Maybe you already did this one, though. I don't know. This might be old news. Oh, where did it go? All right. I have to find it.
It's
unacceptable.
I have one for you, Lou, too.
All right. Well, go ahead if you've got it handy.
All right. On October 17th, you said, "Give me what I want and I'll go away. Storm of the century." Great line, but also something to consider what just happened. That's the most confusing tweet I've ever read in my life, so please tell me.
So my wife and I were watching, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like a terrible Stephen King, like, made-for-TV movie that's on Netflix. And we were watching it, and I was thinking about, you guys might be too young, but there was a miniseries called Storm of the Century, and it was a pretty cool story, and, like, the big tagline is the bad guy keeps saying, "Give me what I want, and I'll go away," and the rest of it, I really don't know. I might have been drunk. Wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities that I was drunk when I tweeted that. But we were watching something terrible, and I was getting mad.
Fair enough.
There was stuff leading up to the "give me what I want and I'll go away" too, but now I don't remember what that was either. There was a reason that came up, but now I don't remember what that was either.
8 times and I just didn't still understand it.
I know, I'm sorry. It wasn't a very good defense.
It works though, I mean.
I don't even remember it, so it couldn't have been that important. Sorry, I'm sorry that wasn't better, Justin. I don't even know what else to tell you. It's a huge letdown, I know.
Did you find my tweet?
I did. 3 days ago, you tweeted, "Just listened to at Lucifer Olsen's and the at that one MLB guy's first podcast. I honestly don't know what just happened."
But it's so random. Like, the things you choose to talk about were just fantastic. I loved every second of it, but then I also was very confused at the end. Because I was wondering if I didn't spend my time and listen to this when it was nonsense. But it was very well done at the same time.
It was like the perfect storm of mixture.
It's a whole lot of nonsense.
It is. a guy in his car just...
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
no.
it.
No.
We don't need to talk about it here. I think we've done our due diligence.
Okay. Oh my god.
Ryan, I did not, I didn't find a good one for you. Your tweets are very clean and easy to understand.
I actually do have one for Ryan.
Sorry, bud.
And on October 21st, about 10:38 p.m., you tweeted, "Mike Tirico may jump out of the booth."
I was watching the, for some reason, I have no idea why any sane human wouldn't be, but I was watching the awful Monday Night Football game between the Vikings and the Giants, and it was honestly the worst football game I've ever watched in my entire life. And I watched a half this year of Iowa playing Michigan State. So that's how bad it was. And Tirico was literally just saying, there's a reason both of these teams combined for one win. And he was just saying, like, this is terrible football. And it just sounded like he wanted to commit suicide, jump out of the booth, and put himself out of his misery.
I noticed that. I noticed that Gruden even said this game was terrible, and I'm like, Gruden?
I had everything.
I had a great time watching the game. I had a wonderful time.
it was like a car wreck, basically. Where
it was like Josh Freeman had never played football before. He was just this big athletic dude, and they were like, "Here, you just throw it to the guys who are wearing purple shirts." And
but
he was like,
didn't. "Oh,
oh," and he just grunted back, "Oh, oh," and he couldn't hit a dump off pass from like 3 yards. He was leading the receiver on like a 15-yard slant, and then he was just like straight in front of him 3 yards.
The best one is when he's in the process of getting sacked. And you tell
that was
just like, and you tell he's just like, screw it, just chucks it up, and Antro rolls on the other side just saying, thanks.
This has to be a joke. Yeah, that game was a joke, but I had a great time.
It was enjoyable as someone who dislikes both of those teams.
Agreed.
So, is that it for Defend Your Tweet this week?
I think so. Justin, I'm going to do some research. I'm going to get back to you on what led to the Give Me What I Want and I'll Go Away. I'm going to try to clear this up for you, pal. It means a lot to me.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting.
I know you will. Because I know you don't have anything better to do.
I really don't.
What else is there to talk about tonight, guys?
Well, the Red Sox, the Cardinals are winning, so that's really sad.
Yeah, I saw that.
This World Series just does not exist to me.
Yeah, it's just... it's so depressing. I don't like the Red Sox, but I mean, the Cardinals. I pick Satan over the Cardinals, so...
You know what,
that tells you how that is.
Like, I have plenty of reasons to hate the Cardinals. Waka is just another reason for me to hate the Cardinals, because they got him by letting Pujols walk. Like... really? How is that fair? It's not fair.
Well, what irritates me is the fact that everyone's, like, framing him as this next ace, and he's not. One, he's not, like, an ace. He's a 2-3 type starter, which is fine and valuable and such, but, like, McCarver is just... he wants to do things to Waka, and it's just really unsettling listening.
Oh, I know. Southern plantation owner. He's just sitting in his wicker rocking chair. Drinking iced tea with some lemon.
He's all pulling, like you said earlier, the Leonardo DiCaprio thing from Django. He's like, "You had my curiosity, now you have my attention."
He does
basically. Oh,
he
this
really
is
does
baseball.
Pop
this is baseball. I'm curious about this. Tell me more.
Yeah, he has a thing for the Cardinals and a thing for the Red Sox. It's just,
and you put
you
it
know
together.
It is in there.
But if it was the Blue Jays and the Angels, he'd be sporting wood about the Dodgers and the Angels. I don't think it matters. I don't think Tim McCarver knows where Tim McCarver is right now. I think Tim McCarver's mom probably dropped him off and said, I'll pick you up at 10:30. And he was like, okay. And she packed him
in. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see like a Pirates A series because he'd be totally clueless as to what's going on. Like, he would know nothing about any of the players. He'd be like, well, there's Andrew McCutchen, and I don't know everybody else.
There's that Bartolo Colon, but, you know.
But I thought he was a Mexican woman.
Bartolo Colon is the greatest pitcher I've ever seen.
He was the best pitcher in the AL this year, by my standards. Like, oh my God.
What are your standards? Hold on. His standards are 1, fat Mexican woman. 2, two-seam fastball. End of story. Well, you only got one guy, so not really that great of standards.
You know, I do have an interesting topic I just thought of that we can talk about, because I guess in some way it can relate to the Brewers because of backloaded deals. But recently, the San Francisco Giants re-signed starting pitcher Tim Lincecum for 2 years, $35 million. That is $17.5 million a year. Now, Lincecum said that he wanted to test free agency. He wanted to test the open market, see what was out there. And I get a $35 million deal for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, but for 2? For a guy who hasn't done anything since he won the Cy Young in 2009? I don't know where the Giants are getting all this money, because they owe a bunch of money to Buster Posey. They owe a bunch of money to Matt Cain. They just made that $90 million deal with Hunter Pence. So what do you guys think of this deal for Lincecum?
Awful. And one, the money's coming from Barry Zito's contract that's no longer a thing, but yeah, this contract is terrible.
What's fantastic for Lincecum?
Oh yeah.
I mean, why would you test the free agent market? If they're gonna offer you that kind of money, yeah, you take it and pocket it and consider it a thank you for winning them 2 World Series. Thanks, pal. Here's your contract.
He also has a full no-trade clause on his deal, which, I mean, no one's going to take the contract anyway, because...
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Dodgers might take it, but...
But, like, that's what's just the real risk here? I mean, you've been flushing money down the toilet for the last 6 years with Barry Zito. What's 2 more years of flushing money on the off chance that Tim Lincecum captures his magic again for even a half a season is enough to get the Giants back to the World Series, because the rest of their pitching staff is stupid.
But it's not going to happen. Like,
no, probably not.
He's just not that guy anymore. I mean, he's lost 3.5 miles an hour on his fastball since his peak. Like, and he can't, his mechanics are messed up. They've been messed up for years. They're saying, oh, he'll fix it. Well, he's had 3 years to fix it and he hasn't.
Ryan, if you were that high, you wouldn't be able to pitch that good either, brother.
That's true.
What? I think there's a pitcher back in the 70s who pitched a no-hitter on LSD.
I
can't even begin to explain how awesome that is.
There, I feel like that was actually not that uncommon for some reason during the 70s.
Well, yeah, I mean, just look at the time period.
Didn't David Wells say he was high when he pitched his?
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of. I mean, there were guys who were high all the time playing baseball. Daryl Strawberry was high in cocaine probably 80% of the time he was on the baseball field.
I feel like at least that would help you a little bit to perform. Like the LSD, I'm just wondering like what's going on in his head while he's on the mound right now.
It's like, dude, do you see those frogs over there?
There's only one way to find out. At the Reviewing the Brew weekend 2014. We'll try to pitch a complete baseball game on LSD.
Well, maybe we give it to Yvonne Gallardo and then he'll be able to throw strikes again.
No, that won't happen.
One can hope.
But just the whole deal, though, getting back to the thing the Giants gave Lincecum, is just, it makes you wonder, really, why these type of deals are being made. I understand that they might feel that Lincecum has some value left in him, and certainly, I mean, he's only going to be 30 years old next year, so he still has, you know, probably a few few years left in his arm, provided, and I'm surprised he hasn't blown it out considering that violent delivery he has. But it makes you wonder what teams are doing now with these type of deals, because with the deals that the Brewers made with certain players, and being a much smaller market team than the Giants, it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling that these type of deals are still being made. Because you look at guys like Lindsey Cohn getting this kind of money, then you have guys like Robinson Cano who went $300 million for 10 years. The teams just aren't doing that anymore.
So, this is, like, narrative done. Like, this is, I have, like, I mean, even though Sabian has shown, like, no inclination of being a savvy general manager and basically drafted and kind of fell into a couple World Series, you know, because the playoffs are weird. But, I mean, he hasn't shown, I mean, he gave a ton of money to Aaron Rowand.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And Barry Zito, and it was pretty clear that Zito was no longer 2003 Barry Zito. And but part of me wonders if this is coming from up top, because I feel like this is more, I mean, pushing narrative that, you know, Lincecum is an ace and he's a fan favorite, when obviously that's an awful way to run a baseball team. I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals let Albert Pujols go when he was a fan favorite, and there was this Hall of Fame thing behind him, which he's a Hall of Fame player, and it didn't really matter because they used the money elsewhere. So just because you're, you know, you can throw this money around doesn't mean you necessarily should, because for teams not named the Dodgers, there's an end at some point.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see where those Dodgers land once, you know, the guys that they signed for all these mega deals, you know, hit their, you know, like, they hit that wall and they stop producing. Obviously, they run into good luck from that Boston trade with guys like Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. But even Carl Crawford has been kind of shaky. But Gonzalez has been good. They traded up for Ricky Nolasco. They signed Zach Greinke. They signed Hyunjin Ryu. So things are working out for the Dodgers. But like you said, Ryan, like that cesspool of money has got to eventually come back and hit them in the face pretty hard.
You're gonna have Dodger Stadium shut down. Like, it's just gonna shut down. They're gonna hit a ceiling, and they're gonna shut down Dodger Stadium.
That would be interesting to see.
Either nobody appreciated the joke or everybody missed it.
I have something's wrong with my internet, and so everything you guys are saying is kind of cutting out, so I'm having to, like, make the pieces.
Yeah, it's cutting out for me too, actually.
So.
Oh.
So I did not get the joke, and I apologize. That is my bad.
I made a Dodgers shutdown joke because of all the expenses they're running up.
Oh, you should have made a Dodgers murder joke. I would have got that. That would have been better for me. Why are California sports fans always killing each other? What is the deal with that? I do not understand this mentality. I love my team. I would never murder a Cardinals fan. Like, or I would never murder anyone. Like, it's outrageous. I just wanted to make sure that everyone was clear. I would not murder anyone.
Hit a pause to clarify that.
But, like, why? Like, why is this happening in California all the time?
What is California?
California is a... Yeah, it is kind of a mess. But, like, man, I feel like it's, like, once a year, either someone from San Francisco kills someone from Oakland, or someone from LA kills someone from Sacramento. It just never ends.
I don't know. I don't get the San Francisco Oakland killing. I mean, especially in San Francisco, it seems like such a chill town. And then they go and beat the. I mean, either someone gets killed or there's like an assault. I don't understand.
I don't either.
It's a good question.
It's very puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, you have more bad blood between, you know, Yankees and Red Sox fans, and they're not killing each other.
I mean, you don't ever see Philadelphia fans killing people, and they're the worst fans in the world.
They're psychotic.
Yeah, and they don't kill anybody. So what's wrong with California sports fans?
Philadelphia just does it more discreetly.
They have a lot of friends in the concrete business.
Yep.
So you just...
There's a mafia backing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all put them in the river, so, you know.
They do have an awful lot of disappearances.
Oh, man. That's wrong.
Where is this gone?
This is where the podcasts usually go, unfortunately, Ryan.
And it's hard to steer it back in the right direction, yeah. especially in the off-season.
Because there's just such little to going on.
Yeah, do you hear about this in any other sport, though? You know, fans killing other fans? I just feel like I hear about it in baseball.
Soccer. No, all the time.
Well, that's
soccer all the time. What's soccer, they kill umpire, or they kill officials.
Yeah, that was psych. That was crazy.
Yeah, they decapitated an official. That just happened. That happened, like,
he stabbed a player.
Yeah, he stabbed a player, and then they lynched him and chopped his head off.
What?
On the field.
You didn't hear about this?
Yeah, that was a very big news, and I don't know anything about soccer, and I heard about that, man. The fans decapitated the umpire, or the whatever they call him in soccer. I don't know anything about soccer.
Yeah, it's a referee.
Good lord.
Yeah, man. People love soccer.
Like, yeah, you go to these, like Brazil, they're crazy. I mean, Europe is a little bit better. But, yeah, you go to, like, some of the, you know... Like, I know in Africa, you know, Central American countries are, yeah. Like, Latin American countries with their soccer, it's scary. Like, people just get trampled, like, because they storm the fences and stuff, like, all the time. And people get, like, trampled on, and, like, there's just constant riots. Like, team wins a championship, the city's just riots. I was like, yeah, I mean, I might... You know, get a little like when the Packers won the Super Bowl. Like there were, you know, people like ran out into the streets and stuff. But there was no rioting going on.
I mean, I looted. I don't know what you were doing after we won the Super Bowl. I was looting. I was just running into people's house and celebrating with them and stealing stuff and then running out.
At least you're being honest about it.
That's what I was always taught to do in moments of glory.
Well, you better hope the NSA isn't listening to this.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Who are we kidding? They're listening to this.
They got nothing on me. I was living in Seattle at the time. There was no looting. I made that whole story up.
Oh, a likely story.
It was pretty believable.
So I don't know if you guys saw. This is completely steering this conversation. Away from
the
decapitating referees. because we start talking about that in the podcast, I get a little concerned. Now, I don't really know what this is going to prove or anything substantial. It might hurt some of the people still involved in it, which I think is all of one guy, but apparently they're reopening the Biogenesis docs, like documents are missing or something, and... While this is going on, Alex Rodriguez is still appealing his suspension, and of course we all know Biogenesis and Ryan Braun and all that fun garbage, but it's just... I thought we were done with that Biogenesis thing, and apparently we're not, you know? It just seems like we're never going to be the one.
I don't know if I'm the only one. I cannot understand anything that you are saying. Anyone else having that problem?
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time hearing what you're saying.
Okay, basically, Biogenesis has been reopened.
Oh, I don't give a crap about that.
But I think it's because, like, somebody broke into a car and stole some documents, and it might hurt Alex Rodriguez, but...
I was going to say, everybody else got punished already. You can't... It's double jeopardy. You can't punish them again for the same thing.
No, but... You know, just real quick... What do you make of this Alex Rodriguez thing? Do you think he's definitely guilty? They have him, you know, nailed to the wall on this.
Ben, innocent people don't do what Alex Rodriguez is doing. He's just being comical.
I'm really just enjoying like this show. Like, I mean, Alex Rodriguez is guilty of something for sure. Like, now I'm not gonna like slam him and be like, oh, he shouldn't do this. Like, you have every right to legally, you know. Fight this along the way, and the way Bud Selig has handled performance-enhancing drugs just kind of makes me like root for A-Rod a little bit in here, because I think Bud Selig has been the ultimate hypocrite as far as performance-enhancing drugs. But I mean, yeah, he's guilty of something, and I just kind of, this Biogenesis thing would just be really nice if it would just go away forever, so ESPN will maybe fewer people will watch ESPN because it's just a steaming load of crap.
I hope so too. Because, yeah, ESPN is bad stuff. It makes my head hurt in ways that my head should not hurt.
This morning, they spent a solid 20 to 25 minutes on the return of Brett Favre. And I went, you cannot possibly be serious. This cannot really be something that you're going to spend almost half of your broadcast hour talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, I can't believe the Rams did it. Two, I really wish it would have happened because I like it when Brett Favre plays football, and it would just be comical to actually watch that go on, and I'm all for entertainment value.
Luckily, he's not that stupid.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not that stupid.
Yeah, he's like, now not coming back. I mean, the guy's a grandfather now, so he's definitely not coming back to football.
He's so old.
Grandpappy Brett.
I just hope that he'll get into the Packers Hall of Fame fairly soon because I think most people have moved on beyond that fiasco.
Yep.
Except for Greg Jennings.
Ben, why would you even bring that up?
You know what? Now I'm just getting pissed.
Ben, you know that's a sore spot with me right now. Why would you even bring that up?
He acts like a girl. Like a little girl who can't get his way.
Yeah, I didn't mean to open that can of worms.
Ben, you jerk. I'm not even going to talk about it. It's just going to make me angry. And I already dealt with that demon yesterday. Oh, Greg Jennings.
You know, since we've gotten so off topic here, let's just do one more thing and then I think we can call it a night. And this isn't even related to baseball because, I mean, we started talking about referees and soccer. So let's go through some of the games Sunday. And just pick a winner from each game. So, Dallas and Detroit, who do you guys have?
Wait, what are we doing? Are we talking about football?
Why not?
Ben, are we finally giving in to the fact that nobody listens to this podcast?
I'm giving in to the fact that it's the offseason, the Brewers have done jack.
I mean, we can hope that most of these people are also, you know, football fans. Hopefully, yeah. Fans.
Okay, Justin, are you even still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just tired.
I just haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if he just fell off the call.
No, he's...
Sometimes I like listening.
It's good.
Okay, so Dallas and Detroit, who do you guys have?
Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's pretty unanimous.
All right, this one's pretty obvious. Cleveland at Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah.
No, I think Cleveland will win.
It's not even Brandon Whedon, it's Jason Campbell.
You know it.
10 times better than Brandon Whedon.
I agree.
I think 10 times better than Brandon Whedon.
I think that the Browns defense is good enough to keep it close, and I think Jason Campbell can win a game if it's close. I think the Browns will win.
Yeah. If Brian Hoyer hadn't blown his knee out, Brian Hoyer would lead the Browns to a win this weekend, but Brian Hoyer's knee is no longer in one piece, so...
I have to actually agree with Lou. I think the Browns could upset Kansas City.
I hope you guys are right.
All right. Miami at New England.
Yeah.
New England is weird to me because you just never, like, sometimes they look really good and sometimes they really don't. So it's hard. Yeah, I think New England will probably win, though.
All right. Buffalo at New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Alright. New York Giants at Philadelphia.
Giants.
Philly.
Philadelphia, but I mean, I'm watching that game's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
Alright, and then we have a game this week in Wembley Stadium in London again. I think they have three this year. I don't know why, I think it's stupid.
No one in England gives a crap.
No, they don't
care. They really genuinely don't.
They have their own version of football that they love. Can't we just leave it at that?
Yeah, they don't want our football, and I don't want them to have it.
And they couldn't have picked a game that's more of a slaughterhouse than this. San Francisco and Jacksonville.
They really want to move Jacksonville to London, don't they? They really do.
Good riddance.
But San Francisco.
Yeah,
of course San Francisco is going to win. There's no way.
All right, New York Jets at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Jets.
I think the Jets could pull this out. Geno Smith, he has it going.
I mean, they win, then they lose.
But that winning against New England last week is pretty. It's a pretty big win.
Yeah, but now they're going to lose.
Lou, you're better than that. Don't fall for that trend.
Hey, I feel like the Jets are the perfect team for that trend.
the epitome of mediocrity.
Yeah, they are the peak of all that is subpar.
I'm just not buying into the Bengals. I don't think Andy. I mean, their defense is great, but Andy Dalton's just not that good. And the Jets' defense is, like, everyone focuses on Geno Smith. That just defense is amazing.
Yeah, the defense is good.
And I think Geno Smith can get it, especially because Leon Hall ruptured his Achilles now, so that takes away an all-pro corner, so.
All right.
Easier.
Pittsburgh at Oakland.
Oh, my God, what an ugly game.
Oh, I don't even want to pick. I don't care.
Is Terrell Pryor healthy again?
Yeah.
I'm taking Oakland then.
Yeah, I think probably
and,
Oakland.
And Run DMC is back.
He's good.
Who cares that he's back? That guy doesn't.
I'm just saying he's back.
I mean, he's all right. He's nothing.
Yeah. Washington at Denver.
Denver,
yeah, that Washington Denver might legitimately put up 80 points if Peyton Manning could throw for 1,000 yards. That Washington secondary couldn't stop Josh McCown.
Yeah.
I watched that whole game, and it was the worst secondary performance I've ever seen. And I watched the Packers in 2011.
I mean, it's not just that. Like, it's not just last week. The entire season, the Redskins' secondary is beyond bad.
Like, that first half of the Packers game, it was like playing Madden on rookie mode. Rodgers was just carving up.
Embarrassing for them. So, yeah, I think the Broncos are not.
Atlanta at Arizona.
Jesus, this is going to be the worst weekend of having DirecTV ever.
I'm going to go with Arizona because Atlanta can't rush the passer. And they're down like they don't have Julio Jones, and Roddy White is a shell of himself right now.
I will pick the not Cardinals because I think Carson Palmer is one of the biggest wieners on the planet.
He is a wiener.
So, whoever the other team was, I don't know.
The Falcons.
Sure, they win.
All right, and then Green Bay at Minnesota.
Oh, Packers in a landslide.
Packers.
And then Monday night, Seattle at St. Louis.
Wait, is Brett Favre playing or is he not playing? Can I, like...
He will not be playing.
But he doesn't know yet. He still has to make a decision.
Well, I mean, because that could take forever. But if Brett Favre plays, I'm taking the Rams, and otherwise I'm taking Seattle.
And your teams that have a bye this week are the Chicago Bears, the Tennessee Titans.
I'll take the Titans.
I will take the bye week against the Bears, the Titans against the bye week.
The Indianapolis Colts, the San Diego Padres. I mean,
San Diego Padres playing. Thank God they have a bye week.
I'll take the bye week against the Padres, though.
The Chargers, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Houston Astros. Damn it.
Houston, you Texas. Can't be serious. Once is all right, Ben. Twice, unforgivable.
Justin, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to take the bye week against the Texans.
I don't blame you.
So are they starting Matt Schaub again now, or is they going to actually roll with Case Keenum, who wasn't awful?
They don't officially know yet. They haven't said, but I'm sure it's going to be
Schaub. They're going to start Schaub, yeah.
Matt Schaub is just so, like, just mediocre.
He threw for the 7th most yards in NFL history, so.
I think they should go with Case Keenum. I really do.
Yeah.
I actually still like Matt Schaub. He's just kind of... He's having a Tony Romo, Eli Manning type off year where every once in a while you just have to poop the bed, like, severely and get it out of your system.
That's what I don't get, is everybody has all this hate for Tony Romo, but he's actually not a bad quarterback. His defense sucks.
I was going to say, the people who hate Tony Romo, like, must not pay attention or have him in fantasy football only.
Like that game against the Broncos. You score 48 points, you're pretty much going to win a game, but not if your defense gives up 51.
I think Tony Romo's a very good quarterback.
Tony Romo's a top 10 quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Cool story, actually. My high school football coach was the backup to Tony Romo in college.
At Western Illinois?
Yep.
That's cool. That is cool.
We weren't any good. He was not the greatest.
Well,
coach.
That is all right.
Yeah, but Tony Romo, he's like had in his first 100 games had the most passing yards in NFL history. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think he's good.
Well, I think we beat the sports horse tonight. So anything exactly. else you guys want to add at all? Or
I hope Josh Freeman starts on Sunday because I like to watch comedy with my sports.
I hope that if John Astor gets to play in the World Series, that it goes well. Regardless of who wins or loses, I just hope that he plays well.
And the Cardinals, I think, just won.
Yesterday. Yeah, they did.
Ooh.
So that'll be heading back to St. Louis on Saturday. For...
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, so I think we touched the bases today. So our next podcast will be November 7th. So hopefully the Brewers do something by then so we don't have to talk about referees getting their heads chopped off and football. So
I mean, I'm okay talking about football, but the referee head chopping off thing is kind of disturbing.
It is a little. And then Lou kills people that aren't Cardinals fans.
Now, hold on. I made it very clear that I did not kill people. I thought we established this already. Very clearly, I stated that I do not kill anyone.
I'm just messing with you.
Interesting Jeez. Little note. This is the first Red Sox World Series loss since, I believe it was 86, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, first World Series loss since 1986. They swept in 2004 against the Cardinals, and then in 2007, I believe it was, against the Rockies.
Jeez.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad the Red Sox lost.
Good but the Cardinals won, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Ben, jeez.
I know. Like I said,
just telling you from Brewer fandom.
That's why I wish this World Series didn't exist, because I don't...
You have to pick a side.
Would it have been that hard to let the Pirates and the A's play so we could be happy no matter what happened?
I know, right?
I mean, I still would have been pissed if the A's had lost, but less pissed.
It'll never happen while Bud Selig is around. I think he fixes the whole thing.
He probably does.
Think about this, though. When is the last time were the Rockies the last, like, small market team to
make it
to the World Series?
Probably.
I think so. I'm trying to remember.
Well, the Rays. Yeah.
Oh, the Rays.
Oh, true. The Rays did the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are the last two, and the other ones have been... I guess it's not that agreed, but before that, it had been, like, a while, I want to say.
Well, the Astros made it in 2005.
The Astros aren't small market. They're small market now because they don't spend any money, but they're, like... Houston's, like, one of the 10 largest cities in the U.S.
Yeah. All right, so I think we are done here for tonight, so... Thank you for listening, if you are still listening at this point, and we will catch you next time. So, thank you again.